Welcome to Sacred Leadership. I am Sigrid Tasias, leadership coach, author, medicine woman, and entrepreneur. And you found the podcast where conscious leaders discuss and explore topics around modern business, ancient wisdom and spirituality, personal development, and success strategies to help you bring more depth to your leadership and create the life and business of your dreams while serving humanity and the earth. In today's episode, I share with you a four-step method to start healing your overachiever. Overachieving and perfectionism are things that I have had to deal with for as long as I can remember. And although this may be a forever work in progress, through deep inner work, I have been able to really understand and heal these tendencies. And that has impacted my leadership in endless ways. Most of my clients and friends have faced or are facing this challenge as well, which is why I recorded this episode, to speak about perfectionism and overachieving and how to start freeing yourself from them. In this episode, I share with you some of the ways in which the belief of not being enough can play out in people's lives, and dive deep into the overachiever pattern and how it affects our leadership. Plus, I break down my four-step method through which you too can start healing your overachiever and show up way more powerfully in your leadership. This is a very juicy one and also the last one of Sacred Leadership's first season. So I really hope you get a lot of value from it. Keep on listening as we dive right into it. I'm so excited to be talking about this topic today because it's something that shows up for literally almost every single client of mine. It has showed up for me my entire life. And I know so many, I would say the vast majority of my friends have had to deal with that as well. So let's dive right into this topic. The first thing we get to do is identify and own whether we operate from that overachiever place where we feel as though we always have to accomplish more and get more done. And somehow we never truly rest in the feeling of having done or achieved enough. There's always something else. And if that is us or has been us, the first important thing we get to do is really own it. Know that it's there. Without judgment, without making a story about it, that we're wrong, that we should be over it, because that's again the overachiever, the perfection is showing up, but rather just seeing it for what it is and getting curious about what we get to do about it. Now, the not enoughness story is one that I would say almost every single human being suffers from at some point. And there are many ways in which this belief or fear of not being enough may show up. For some people, that insecurity shows up in the way of procrastination and self-sabotage and avoiding to do things or fully leaning into what we say we want, so that we can avoid the potential pain of failing that would reaffirm our belief of not being good enough. This, more often than not, is a completely subconscious dynamic. It happens without us being intentional about it at all, but it happens. So we get to look at it. These are the people that make excuses for themselves, have 1,001 epic ideas, but don't follow through with any or most of them. These are the people that set goals for themselves or boundaries for themselves and completely dishonor them. And this shows up for the vast majority of people. It shows up. It's very often, very common. So if this is you, again, no shame in your game. We just get to look at it. For others, this shows up in the way of people pleasing and self-neglect, putting everything and everyone before us so that we can create an illusion of safety, because it isn't really safety, it's an illusion of safety, through being very easy to be around and making everyone very comfortable and safe, sometimes almost making people need us. These are the people that will listen to you the most and will always be there even if it's at the expenses of what they need. There's other people that struggle deeply to say no, to ask for what they need, to communicate their feelings and desires, or to lean into vulnerable honesty if confrontation happens to be a risk. For these people, it's easy to build up subconscious resentment and feel quite scattered within themselves because their energy is being poured externally constantly and they may not be receiving what they need in order to recharge. And another example of this belief of not being good enough and how it may play out is perfectionism. Here's where the overachievers are found. This is what we're going to focus on today. And I am a recovering overachiever myself. So if you're listening to this and you know this is you, I've got you, babe. Same here, been there, done that. So we really get to identify this. Identifying why this is happening is the first important step. So if you're listening to this, you may know, okay, this is time, this is me, I get it. And this shows up in my life, whether professionally or just in my day-to-day life, and nothing ever seems to be good enough. And a quick note here to clarify that there are many different ways in which our belief of not being good enough may play out. And the ones I just listed are some of the most common ones, not all of them. Also, they're not exclusive of each other. So you could have two or all three of these dynamics show up in your life as opposed to just one of them. I have experienced every single one of those. So you may have one that shows up all the time and the other two show up sometimes. Maybe for you, the three of them show up all of the time. So really looking at and knowing that these aren't exclusive of each other, they can all be at play at the same time. So if this is you, all good. We identify that. Awesome. The overachiever is at play. Cool. What do we do with this? The first step that I encourage you to take is really looking at the reasons why you want to achieve all that you want to achieve. Yes, you may want to serve humanity and help people and create an awesome movement of X thing in the world or create X impact in society, whatever it is. And until you've gone really, 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 really deep within yourself to heal every single aspect of your wounded ego that may want the attention, validation, praise, acceptance, and all of the things that that quote-unquote success you seek may bring, there will be all of that shadow that comes with it too. So again, there's no shame in this. It's not about saying, you know, you want to create an impact, but you also have all these shadow reasons why you want to do it. There's nothing wrong with it. Really is something that happens to all of us. And there's no reason to be ashamed. There's no reason to feel guilty. There's no reason to even go into the story of, well, I have shadowy reasons why I want to be a leader or why I want to be a teacher or why I want to be a healer, coach, whatever it is that you do. So I can't coach yet, or I can't teach yet, or I can't create that yet. It's not about being perfect. Get this very clear. Embodiment isn't perfection. However, we get to really look at those because anything that is in the shadow cannot be mastered. Anything that is in the shadow and plays out within our shadow unintentionally, subconsciously, anything that we're not looking at with the power of our awareness has power over us. So we want to get to a place where we can see all of those shadows, identify them, honor them for what they are, and bring them into the light with the power of our awareness. That doesn't mean we have to be perfect. That doesn't mean we have to get it right. That doesn't mean we have to be completely selfless, enlightened, guru-like beings in order to be able to coach or create an impact or build a platform or lead in any way. But for as long as we have subconscious, shadowy aspects of ourselves that we are deciding not to look at or not to acknowledge, then they will have power over us. And this is what we want to avoid. Hence why we look at these shadowy aspects. So one thing I support my clients in doing is identifying and working through both the higher self reasons and the lower self reasons, what we just referred to as quote unquote shadowy aspects or shadow, why you want to do what you want to do. When people say the only reason why I lead is so that I can create an impact in humanity and serve and this, awesome. Awesome. And when I see people and leaders talk about it as if it's all light and love and nothing else, I see a lack of self-awareness and a lack of ownership that's going to get in their way. It's going to get in their way to creating the impact that they desire because there is an unintegrated aspect of themselves. So again, we all have the shadow reasons. We all have the higher self reasons. Some people are playing completely in the shadow and are disconnected from the higher reasons. People that are really connected to the higher reasons are aware that there is usually an aspect of shadow within that as well. So that doesn't mean that's why they lead. That doesn't mean that's why we do the things we do, but we become aware and comfortable with the fact that there is a wounded ego playing at some stages, at some points. And when we make peace with that, when we know that, we can address that outside of our leadership so that when we show up in our leadership, we can truly be of service and we can truly be focusing on the impact that we're creating and not the impact that that's creating in our personal lives or how that's making us feel about ourselves. So what I mean by all of this is simply put, there is going to be an aspect of yourself, no matter how much work you've done on yourself, there is the possibility, the chance, and it's a high chance that your ego will have a specific agenda, will get gratification when you get validation, it will get affirmation, or it will feel secure or safe, accepted, seen, when you get praise, when you get the quote-unquote success that you're seeking to achieve. All of these things are going to be there. So for as long as you pretend that that ego isn't there, that that shadow isn't there, that that subconscious lower self reasons aren't there, they'll have a lot more power over you and they will be showing up in all these different ways in your leadership. As soon as you acknowledge that, as soon as you go, hey, I see you, you have your place. I'm not pushing you away. I'm not trying to avoid you. I truly see you. I see that there is an aspect of me that is still hoping she or he gets more validation or more praise or more acceptance or more love, or can feel good enough through doing enough, achieving enough, being seen enough, being acknowledged enough. I've recognized that that's there, and I intentionally, consciously choose to show up with my higher reasons in my leadership. I choose to show up for the service. I choose to show up in integrity, walking my talk, focusing on the impact that I can create in other people's lives, in humanity, in society, in the world, for the planet, whatever it is for you. And I'm not longer avoiding the fact that those other reasons exist within me too. So I'm going to make sure that I am working on those, whatever it is that you need to do, whether it's inner child healing work, whether it is subconscious beliefs, reframing, upgrading your belief system, whether it's really going deep into the places where you haven't held yourself accountable and reparenting yourself to hold yourself accountable to these new ways of showing up. Whatever it is, there's many ways of dealing with that, but we deal with those shadowy reasons at home, let's say. We show up for ourselves. We show up for that part of ourselves that is wanting the validation and wanting the approval and wanting the attention and all of the things. And we give it a space through acknowledging it, through honoring it. We give it a space that it needs, because it won't just go away. Doesn't matter how many followers you get. Doesn't matter how much you practice as a facilitator, a coach, a healer. It doesn't matter how much money you make. That part of you, when unacknowledged, will only grow and become stronger. It won't go away. So that means that that overachiever, that part of you that feels like nothing is ever enough, will never feel enough, because not amount of external validation, recognition, attention, praise, acknowledgement will ever be enough to fill the gap that only you can fill within yourself. So if you're operating from that overachieving mindset, there is a part of you that is screaming at you, please hear me, please see me, please validate me, please accept me, please love me, please nourish me, please pay attention to me. And while you keep on placing that outside of yourself, it will never be enough. So you may think now, when I get more followers, I feel better about myself. Then I can stop achieving. When I have the podcast and I launch a podcast, when I do my first six-figure launch, when I scale my business to six figures or seven figures or eight figures, when I appear in X amount of platforms, or where I join this course, or where I do whatever it is for you, you may think that then it will be enough. But I can tell you with 1,000,000% certainty, personal experience within my own personal life and with the hundreds of people that I've worked with, it is never enough until it is now enough, until it is enough in the now. The future will never bring the enoughness. That's a complete illusion. So it has to be up to you to really see, okay, what are the higher self reasons why I want to do what I want to do? And what are the lower self reasons why I do what I do? What are the lower self reasons? Awesome. Once I identify these lower self reasons, where are they coming from? And what do I get to do in order to work through them? At home, in the time that I allocate for it, whether it's with my coach, whether it's with a healer, whether it's with plant medicine, whether it's through my daily meditations, in whatever way I choose, how do I deal with that, really dedicate myself to doing that work, so that when I show up in my social media platforms, when I show up on stage, when I show up in my podcast, when I show up even just energetically in my business, I am coming from a very aligned space of service and integrity versus letting that wounded little girl or that wounded little boy run the game, run the show. And there's so many leaders out there doing that. And there's nothing wrong. That doesn't mean that they don't care about humanity. That doesn't mean that they're not good people. That doesn't mean nothing bad about them. Simply, there is a need to acknowledge the shadowy reasons and come face to face with them. And it is not the sexiest of practices. It is a lot sexier to keep building your platform and have people that are looking up to you and praising you and all of the things. But when we want to really heal the overachiever, when we want to achieve true fulfillment, that can only happen from within. And for as long as we are not cultivating that sense of enoughness, in the now, right here, right now, know when I make more money, know when I achieve more, whatever, when I'm featured in more platforms, not when I have more clients, not when I launch my next thing, not when I complete my project, now. Like right now. Not when I get the boyfriend or the girlfriend, the husband, the wife, not when I have the children that are skewed as my friend's kids, not when I have this car, not when I lose that much weight, or not when, no, right now. Until you don't do this work to really claim it and be fierce about this claim, I choose to be enough right here, right now, because I say so. And I know there is an aspect of myself that still doesn't believe that I am. There is an aspect of my wounded ego that still struggles to believe that I am enough, and I will work through that constantly until I am able to free myself from that belief. And it will take time. It is not something that you can just choose and claim and do with sticky affirmations, you know. That's it. Been doing affirmations for 3 days. It's over. It is a journey that you get to commit to. However, the rewards of these are endless. Because operating from that overachieving space is not only getting in the way of you truly achieving what you desire in your business, because you're burning out, because you're out of alignment in so many different ways, because you might be preaching and encouraging others to love and accept themselves, but the way in which you're going about your business in your life, it's coming from a space of self-neglect. It's coming from a space of lack of self-compassion and self-acceptance. So that's getting in your way in so many different areas, but that's also taking away the opportunity that you have to be a stand for others also healing that part of themselves, that things that they're not good enough. And you can only help people to do that truly when you are being the embodiment of that. For as long as you keep on talking about it and posting epic quotes on Instagram about how you're good enough, but then showing up to your business, showing up to your career, showing up to your life, whether it's in your dating or romantic life or in your current relationship, the way in which you look at your body, for as long as you have that overachiever running the show, you won't be able to facilitate that healing and that transformation for others to the same depth that you could, that you can, once you create that shift. So first of all, again, identifying and working through both the higher self reasons and the lower self reasons why you want to do what you do or you do what you currently do, and allocating time and practices and tools to help you deal and navigate the lower self reasons or the quote unquote shadow reasons, so that when you show up to your business, when you show up to your career, to your leadership, you can show up from the higher self reasons as much as possible. Again, we're all just trying our best. There's no such thing as perfection. And to be an embodied leader is not to be a perfect leader. It is to be a leader that is willing to lean in and show up constantly and really walk their talk. So this is what we're talking about. So that's number one. Number two is, as I said, create a practice of validation and acknowledgement within. So number one is identifying it, identifying what are the higher self reasons, what are the lower self reasons. Number two is creating a practice of validation and acknowledgement within, so that you can start healing that part of yourself that keeps on operating from that not enoughness and pushing for that healing to happen in a way that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen from bringing more validation and acknowledgement from outside. It's only going to happen when you do that within yourself. So that's number two. Number three is write all of your goals and celebrate yourself daily, because the target will always move. Here's the thing. When I start working with my one-on-one clients, I always write down in a document that we share, I write down all of their goals and the different things that they mentioned they want to work with. And we get super clear on what is it going to look like? Like, what is it going to look like when you're on the other side of this work and you have worked through all of that stuff and you have achieved the things that you say you want to achieve? What are some tangible, specific results that you're going to have, that you're going to get from this? And we write those down, because what tends to happen more often than not to overachievers is that we have these goals, we have these things that we really want to achieve, but then once we achieve them, they mean nothing. And we're still focusing on the thing that we still haven't yet done, the thing we haven't yet achieved, the thing we haven't yet accomplished. So it is of the utmost importance that we get super clear on what are the very specific, tangible things that we want to achieve, whether personally or professionally, health-wise, whatever. Get super clear and super, super, super specific. And then make sure that you are celebrating all of those things as you achieve them. But not just that, make sure that you are celebrating yourself daily. I remember I started writing when I was about 6 years old. I was obsessed with writing. I could write songs and stories and poems, and I wrote my entire life. And I always knew I wanted to be an author. It was a dream of mine since I was very, very little. When I wrote my book and I published my book, I had about another four projects I was creating at the same time, like very big projects I was putting together. And I remember when this book The first hard copy of my first ever book came in the mail. And I was so focused on all of the things that I was trying to achieve and all of the things that I was trying to create that I didn't even open the book. I opened the package, I looked at the book, and I said to myself, great, one less thing to do. And I put the book aside. When I realized that I had done that, I put everything on pause and forced myself to celebrate because that was something I had been wanting to do since I was about 6 years old. For decades, I had been thinking about and planning and dreaming about this book in the making. And when I finally had the book in my hands, I was so caught up in all of the other things that I hadn't yet finished and all of the other things that I hadn't yet done that I didn't take the necessary time, the time that I deserved, that it deserved, to truly celebrate that accomplishment. So this is why having a daily practice of celebration is so, 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 so important for everyone, but especially for the overachievers. So what I do now when I have my to achieve list, which is not a to-do, it's to achieve, I have the different things and I blend in when I plan my day, both the things that I do for myself and the things that I do in business. So in the morning, I will write down every single thing I do in the morning. So I pray in my altar and I do breath work and I make the bed and I have a cold shower and I dry brush and I scrape my tongue and brush my teeth and do my skin routine. And I usually dance while I shower. And I like all of the things that I do. I meditate, I move. All of the things, they go on my list. Because it's so easy to just focus on the things that we achieved for the business, right? The thing that I did, or I wrote down this sales page, or I finished this email sequence, or I went on these three podcasts today and did these interviews, or I did whatever. But we forget that there are all these other things that are also achievements that we don't tend to give importance to. So for me, looking after myself, my mental health, my emotional health, my physical health, my energetic health is super important. So this is why things like meditating, having a cold shower instead of a warm shower, where I really feel like having a warm shower, but I have a cold shower instead to help my body and my circulation. I dance and that puts my energy into a whole different energetic space. So that's an achievement as well. So having all of these little things in the to-do list or to-achieve list, as I like to call it, versus just the things we do for work, made a huge difference for me because I can celebrate myself for every little thing. I celebrate myself for every little thing I achieve versus just the big things that I do in my business that truly, fully move the needle a lot. Because meditation supports my business. Going for a walk in nature supports my business. Having a smoothie with superfoods in it that's gonna keep my body and my mind fully on point support my business. So everything is interrelated, and when we understand this, we can start celebrating all these little things as well and seeing it as a celebration of how we look after ourselves and how we show up versus just celebrating the things that others will also celebrate, the things that others will also see and know that we've done. So I really encourage you to, as I said, write all of your goals very specifically, very tangibly, and put a date in there so that when you finally achieve them, you can see the progress instead of just thinking never enough, because the target will always, 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 always move. So make sure you write down your current target so that when you're in the next phase, in the next stage, in the next step, in the next level, and you have a different target, you can come back and realize that you are now living the thing that you once dreamt to live. You have achieved the thing that you once found impossible. You have accomplished the thing that you once thought that was your biggest goal. And create a practice of celebration daily. Make sure you do celebrate yourself daily for the little things and for the big things. for dry brushing your body if you do, for making the bed. You could not. Some people don't. I can't leave my room without making the bed, but some people don't. So if you do, awesome. That's an achievement. If you decide to ride your bike to the grocery store or walk instead of driving your car, if you listen to a podcast or an audiobook while you go into the grocery store, all of these things are achievements. So make sure that you put it in your list. And a little tip of how I do this, because as I said, I am a recovering overachiever, I make sure that my list of done things, the things that I achieved, stays there until the day after. So when I start my day, instead of seeing a to-do list or to-achieve list full of things that I haven't yet done, I see a list full of things I achieved the day before. And that helps me a lot, just energetically. It helps me kind of look at everything that I did and start from there versus start from zero to everything I get to do. And then the fourth step that I really, really, really encourage you to take to heal your inner overachiever is drawing clear boundaries with yourself. This means having a time by when you finish work, because it may never feel like you have done enough work. Having an X amount of a number of tasks you do in a day, because you may know that otherwise, even if you do 27 things instead of three that someone else would do, that won't feel like you have done enough. You get to have non-negotiable breaks, like really having your morning routine for yourself. Having a lunch break or having a time by, as I just said, by when you finish work, or having your very clear, some of you, I hope that a lot of you listening have this clear, but some of you may don't, having very clear days off. Just making sure that you are almost forcing yourself a little bit to have those times where you are doing nothing, where you are resting, where you are playing, where you are enjoying yourself. Because if not, it's so easy to get caught up in everything we want to achieve and everything we want to do and everything we want to become and not have time to really enjoy life that is happening right here, right now. Another thing that you may want to look at when setting boundaries with yourself is not watching your videos after you recorded them, or not listening to recordings after you've done them. I know that this gets in the way for a lot of people. This is something that a lot of my clients have shared with me, that sometimes they record videos and then they watch them and then they think they're not good enough, so they re-record them again, and then that's still not good enough, so then they do it a third time, and then they don't do it. They push it aside, and then that becomes, it goes from overachieving into procrastination. So because we want to make sure that we're doing it perfect and we don't feel like we're doing it perfect, then we avoid doing it. Or we do it 1,001 times and waste a lot of time that wasn't needed. So this is something that I know for myself as well is completely needed. Years ago, I started doing this so that I wouldn't waste time and redo things 1,000 times, because I can go into that pattern. And nowadays, simply also for productivity and not wasting time. That doesn't mean that if you do a video and you know that, oh, actually, I really think that I get to do this better, you redo it. But it means don't get in the habit of rewatching and analyzing and pulling apart every single piece of content that you create, or every single course that you do, or every single video you record, because you're going to be wasting a lot of time and energy, and that's going to be getting in your way to really, truly create the impact that you want to create. So let's do a little recap. Step number one, identify both the higher self reasons and the lower self reasons why you do what you do, or why you want to do what you want to do, why you want to achieve what you want to achieve. Number two is create a practice of validation and acknowledgement within. This is a time that you allocate to heal that wounded little girl, that wounded little boy, that wounded ego aspect with so much compassion and so much acceptance, remembering that literally everyone has it. Up until enlightenment point, we all have that those aspects to more or less to a higher or lower degree. And just making the time to do that healing with your coach, with your healer, with different practices that you can use, but really making that time, allocating that space to create that practice within, remembering that no amount of external validation and acknowledgement will ever make you feel good enough. Step number three is write down all of your goals very specifically. Be very tangible about what it is that you want to achieve or become. How will you know that you've gotten there? So that you have a point of reference once your target has moved, because it will move always. And create a practice of daily celebration. And step number four is draw clear boundaries with yourself to ensure you don't give free range to this overachiever running the show. That means have a time by when you finish work or a number of tasks you do in a day and just really cut it at that. Have non-negotiable breaks, non-negotiable times and days where you dedicate just to be. Dedicate your time, your energy to be with yourself, to have fun, to nourish yourself, to being versus doing. Another one can be not watching your videos or not re-listening to the recordings after you do them so that that doesn't get in your way. Whatever it is for you, draw clear boundaries with yourself and make sure to hold yourself accountable to them and honor them. I truly, truly know that if you follow through these four steps, a lot will shift for you and the way in which you can relate or you relate to yourself and to your leadership will also shift and expand. So I really encourage you to follow through with these four steps and see what this creates for you. This is what really makes a leader a true leader. There are so many people calling themselves that they're quote-unquote leaders, but being disconnected from this level of embodiment, this level of ownership, this level of awareness. And when we want to create an impact that goes far beyond our ego, we have to do this work. It is a non-negotiable. So I hope that this was of a lot of value and support to you. And if you want to share your wins, make sure to tag me in any stories, any posts that you share so that I can see what you got from this episode, what's your commitment moving forward, and I can celebrate you as well. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that the value you got from it can really impact your life and leadership for the better. Sacred Leadership's first season ends here, and we will be back with season two really soon. While on this break, we will be realigning and creating more epic content to send your way soon, and I really encourage you to catch up during this time on any episodes you haven't listened to yet, and visit our website if you wish to leave us a question or request a topic for season two. If you love the show and you haven't left us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts yet, that would be of huge support to us, and I would deeply appreciate if you did so. And while we're gone, let's keep connected on Instagram. I share daily inspirational free content over there, so if we aren't yet friends, make sure to follow me on @secrettasius, and I will see you there and back over here very soon. Lots of love.